Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
God damn it, this is art!
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
If I had a wiener, I'd be erect.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends. A new episode of Huntsville Home Video blasting at you on a Monday. If you're listening today on your smartphone, grab another smartphone and dual wield that son of a bitch. We need you listening to a phone in each hand.
And we want you to slow it down, do it in slow motion.
Right, slide down some stairs and across countertops when you do it.
If you can slide through a gurney, that would be great. Also, doves. Everybody, doves.
Yes, so many birds.
So many birds, things flying through the air. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Want to throw in a flute? A clarinet? Do it.
Yeah, let's get some jazz going here.
Let's get some jazz gown.
Yes. And that would accompany, that would pair well with the movie that we are going to be reviewing today.
It's a real nice.
Episode 149. Oh. This is where I get to woo my friend Leanne.
Oh, fuck off. God damn it. Mother of God. Strike him down for his bullshit.
Literally been waiting all week to say that.
That was terrible. You got on to me for some lame joke earlier this week.
I did.
And then you pull that out? That's the gun you pull out?
Two guns.
I mean, I don't.
Two guns I pulled out. Pew, pew, pew.
I just feel like if I had said it, you would be like, oh, you stupid fucking bitch.
In this context, I'd been like, okay, I hate it, but it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I hated saying it.
Right.
But it was good.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
We've already introduced Leanne to a John Woo movie that you loved in the form of Face Off.
Yeah.
We have talked about movies that were heavily influenced by John Woo previously on this podcast with the likes of Shoot 'Em Up and The Raid.
Yeah.
But today we are going to John Woo's Hong Kong roots, his Asian roots. We're going to chat about the movie that I feel like he was already on the map when this movie came out.
Okay.
But this one is the one that made me go, holy fuck, this dude is going to be great forever.
Yeah, cinephile Jack was like, oh, I fucking jerk off to this guy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cinephile Jack. First time I saw this movie, I'm like, this is going to dictate my personality for a long time.
Then you saw The Crow and you went, no, it's this one. But I digress.
It was both of them. I was dual wielding fake guns in a trench coat, bitch.
And eye makeup.
Yeah, well, yeah. A lot of eye makeup. I never trained a bird, though. I never trained a raven or a crow.
I can't believe you didn't try.
I never said I didn't try.
Oh, oof. Oof, God. Damn it.
Today, my friends, we talk about what I consider to be my favorite action movie of all time.
Oh.
We are talking about Hard Boiled.
Did I know this was your favorite action movie of all time?
Did
you say that?
Maybe.
I forgot it.
I mean, there's. I don't think it is the best action movie, but it's definitely my favorite.
Okay. That doesn't have to be the best to be your favorite.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
I unapologetically love this movie.
Sure.
And I think a large part of it has to do with the last 30 minutes of this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But overall, I love the characters in this flick. I like the story, the action, of course, and the fact that it was done in 92 for $4 million.
Right.
Is that to me is exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making American movies for quadruple that budget with far less results.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
No. I got you.
And it's not about my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's about...
That's true.
It's about the journey of my good friend Leanne. That's what this podcast is all about.
Yep.
So for the 149th time, my friend, I'm going to ask you, what did you think about a particular movie? And in this particular instance, it is Hard Boiled.
Well, I guess I got to be careful because it's your favorite action movie.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I can't really say anything negative about it
sure
or whatever. So, do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
This movie fucking slaps.
You goddamn right.
It fucking slaps, dude. Uh-huh. No wonder it's your favorite action movie. This is a, when I didn't realize it was in 92, because I'm watching, I'm going, this is fucking kick-ass, and then I looked up something, or I looked up someone, I can't remember now, and I was like, 92?
Right.
This shit looks amazing for 92?
Right.
Looks great.
Yeah.
The action is superb. The acting is, it's better than the last Chinese movie we watched. What was that one?
Oh, Kill Zone?
Donnie Yen. Yeah. It was a lot better. I thought it was great. I loved the characters. I loved the action in it. I liked the story in it. And big fan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Where, so now you've had a taste. And it fits suiting this podcast. You did it in the reverse order.
Sure.
You got the American taste of John Woo with Face Off. And now you've got the hard boiled, which style.
You can't ask me that.
Well, I'm not saying which movie did you like better, because I know we've got like the greatness that is Nicolas Cage in Face Off, the over the top version that I love so much. He had more money to play with. He had more toys to play with in Face Off. But now you've seen like the template where all that came from. Mm-hmm. Did you prefer one over the other?
Well, that's asking me if I like one more than the other. And you just said you can't ask that, but you're going to ask it anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, look, here's the deal. You are not going to turn me into cinephile Leandra. I'm like, oh, Asian cinema's number one. I'm going to stick with the Americans on this
one. You go
the Americans off? Still win, but this is good.
Okay. Fair enough. So
we spent a lot of time on babies in this movie, and we spent a lot of time on... you know, the music thing was still a thing
in this
movie, but it was a lot better. I'm going to pick them. I'm sticking with my team. I'm sticking with the Americans.
So if I were to flip the question around a little bit and reword it a little bit, which one did you like better?
I liked Face Off.
Yes, I know you like Face Off.
I liked Face Off better. But this one's a fucking jam.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was...
And I would let him direct anything after seeing this movie.
Okay.
It'd be, you know what? I'd be like, go ahead, John Woo. Go ahead, Woo. So, woo him. Woo him all.
Woo me.
Woo me.
So I will say this. After Hard Boiled, that's when he came over to America.
Okay.
Right? So that's when he did a Van Damme movie. He did Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm.
Face Off, of course.
Which one was first, Face Off or Mission Impossible 2?
I want to say it was Mission Impossible 2.
I don't know why I even ask. We don't know our timelines
No.
Here.
Even like as much as I love movies, you'd figure I'd know dates better, but fuck no.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Like Hard Target was the Van Damme movie that he did. And that's like probably one of Van Damme's best movies.
Okay.
There's like some great action in that one.
Right.
He does hit a bit of a rut.
Everybody does. A lot of people do.
But he actually has done some stuff recently. There's one of his movies that came before Hard Boiled is called The Killer. Also has Chow Yun-Fat in it. That one is more, it's got great action. It's got doves. It's got everything that you would expect from a John Woo movie. That one is a lot more like emotional story driven.
Okay.
Still really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like Hard Boiled better. They're actually remaking The Killer. I don't know why they're doing that. Hmm. I don't think they need to do that. But John Woo is in some way attached to it.
Okay.
So if they make it good, that's all I really fucking care about. Personally, though, I think they should have remade Hard Boiled.
Okay.
The premise of The Killer. So now you've seen Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
Let me run The Killer by you. So Chow Yun-Fat is in that one. Like he's in this
one. He was great in this movie, by the way. I like him. And I knew that name. I don't know if you'd mentioned him or I just knew that name. I feel like I knew him.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard of him in some way, shape, or form.
Sure. So in The Killer, he plays an assassin who on a particular hit, he like pulls his gun to shoot it. And it just so happens to be in front of a club singer and the gun goes off like next to her face and it blinds her.
Oh.
And then he is overcome with guilt and he must he feels compelled to take care of her. And she doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know she's the one that blinded her, this and that. And then eventually the mob boss is like, well, we need to take her out because she's a liability. We need to take him out because she's a liability. And people get shot gloriously. Doves, story, emotion.
The end.
The end. And it, like I said, it was really good. I prefer hard boiled better.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic for the remake of The Killer.
Is it like an American remake?
Yeah. It's going to be on Peacock. Because every streaming platform needs a hook. We need something. And we canceled Saved by the Bell. So let's get a John Woo movie in there.
Wasn't Peacock in charge or a big part of the Halloween movies that fucked up?
Yeah.
Or the last,
Universal, but yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well.
TBD. But even if The Killer remake sucks, I still got the original.
Okay. Well, of course you do. And probably four different versions.
Just one.
I'm proud of you.
But if you liked, so you're now kind of like two for two on Hard Boy, on John Woo movies.
Okay.
And I would say the Asian movies that he did far outweigh the overall arc of his American stuff.
Okay.
So like outside of like Face Off, Mission Impossible 2 isn't even that good. Action is great.
Yeah.
But the movie itself is just kind of I would say that his Asian flicks are way better. A Better Tomorrow, Hard Boiled, The Killer, Bullet in the Head. Watch those four.
Okay.
You've already watched one.
You look like a child on Christmas.
I'm trying really hard not to be cinephile Jack today.
It's not working, bud.
I know.
It's not working. His Asian cinema is better than his American art cinema arc.
I'm just spitting facts here, homie. Just spitting facts. Yeah,
I knew I was gonna encounter this today.
Well,
oh, shit.
I'll try to keep.
No, don't do it. Let him out.
I won't. He's coming out.
Let him out.
He's coming out. He's
peeking out from under the trash can lid. He's like Oscar.
You returned the DVD to me today. At one point in this podcast, I might wave this up over my head, proclaiming, "God damn it, this is art." I may or may not have done that with this very DVD in the past.
I believe that. And honestly, I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
God damn it. This deserves an Academy Award. There needs to be an Academy Award for action, for stunt choreography, you sons of bitches.
Is there not an Oscar for stunt choreography? No. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right?
You can't watch a movie like that and say that a stunt choreographer who would have worked on that movie didn't deserve an award.
Thank you.
They go on gurneys, bro. They're spinning out on gurneys, bro. And shooting. Coming through the door of the morgue and onto the gurney and spinning around and shooting.
Yeah.
Get out my face. If you have makeup, but they have makeup?
Yeah.
So why not stunt choreography?
Makeup, costume design. Like
redonky. Oh, because they're like, oh, it's just a bunch of bros fighting. That's probably what they
ultimately
think.
Yeah. And it
fuck them.
So this conversation has actually come up again in the wake of John Wick 4, because many people have said, how the fuck does this not deserve an Academy Award?
100%.
You know, if you
a new
can,
one does all right? of them do really, but
yeah, I mean, they're incredible. There are so many movies that you can just watch from a pure entertainment standpoint. They're not, you know, you're not going to learn anything. You're just going to turn your brain off. You're going to watch some shit.
That's fine.
Go down for like an hour and a half.
That's fine.
But the work that goes into that, like the work that went into Hard Boiled on an action standpoint, is just as important, or just as, I would say, more tough than the art direction or the makeup direction on any given movie.
We can give an Oscar to that movie where that lady fucked the fish, remember?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Right?
It was a beautiful movie, though, other than the part where she fucked the fish. We could give John Wick a...
I mean, that was my favorite part. I don't know what that says about me, but whatever.
It's love. Love is love, motherfuckers.
Oh, is that the...
That's the tagline. I think it came from that movie.
Oh, okay.
They saw that lady fucked the fish, and they were like, oh, love is love, I guess.
I thought they were just like, hey, quit kink shaming. Someone wants to fuck a fish, you let them fuck a fish.
Clearly, gills.
Clearly, I should stick to my Asian action.
Watch
Asian action movies, not Asian other action.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Don't kink shame that. What the fuck happened? We're doing so good.
Well, you know, we go off the rails here from time to time. So let's get into it. Let's chat about the finer points, my friend, of Hard Boiled.
Well, first of all, the detective's name is Tequila.
Inspector Tequila.
Inspector Tequila. How can you not fucking love that? Right. I don't know where that came from, but I like it. It feels good to me. Tequila is drinking at a jazz club. He plays is that a clarinet?
That's a clarinet.
It's a clarinet. And it's a jazz club. And this is in my notes where I went, I'm so stupid. I forgot that other places had jazz. I just wasn't. I was like, oh yeah, other people can enjoy jazz music too. I didn't think they existed outside of America for like a split second.
And I'm the fucking dumbass for loving movies the way I do.
Yeah. Anyways, he's like. He's like an undercover. Is he undercover cop or is he just a cop?
Tequila's just a cop.
He's just a cop and he likes to play. He wanted to be a musician at one point, right? So he plays in this jazz club. And we see there's a lot of crime going on. There's a manhunt going on. Guns have been smuggled into Hong Kong. There's a lot of crime going down in the city, okay? And so he and his partner, we got to talk about this fucking tea house really quick. What's with the fucking birds?
I mean, people like their birds.
What's with the fucking birds?
People keep them as pets.
You're sitting there, you're drinking tea, and you're eating a light meal at a tea house, and here's a fucking bird with a nasty-ass flight animal above you in a cage. They're loud as fuck, they're nasty as fuck, and they're right above the table. And then I was like, oh, is this some kind of cuisine where you eat the bird at the end? I don't know.
I mean, no.
No?
No, just...
They do eat birds, though.
I mean,
have you seen that where they eat the baby bird? Like they eat the whole baby bird?
I have not.
Like a delicacy?
Interesting.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Seen it in movies before. Haven't you seen any movies, Jack?
Yes, I've seen many movies. What movies are you watching?
I don't know. I feel like it was just recent I saw this.
Was this on the Peacock Network?
Is it a bird? I think it's like a baby bird. Do they get it out of the egg and then it's before it's hatched, right? Isn't that the deal?
Sure.
Google this.
Okay.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Google it. Anyways, they're spying on some bad guys, it seems like. Some arms dealers, they're making a deal. And then there's like a lot of looking. We get a lot of looky-loos. And then shit pops off with a fucking tea kettle. We just start hitting people with tea kettles.
Fuck yeah.
And then it goes down. Birds are freaking out. There's double gun shit already. We're slow-mo jumping over booths. We got camera work going down the booth, which was really good. And then my favorite part, though, is when Tequila, he slides down the stairs. Slides down the banisters while he's going and he's shooting with the double guns. Thank you very much. And I love this. It's not birds. It's just, but I love this aesthetic of like it's like there's just shit flying in the air. Like shit's been blown up and shit's flying in the air, and it just adds to the chaos. And I love the look of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a John Woo thing, but I'm just like the paper flying in the air. It's like, oh shit, there's chaos.
Well, I think it is.
Maybe it is
indicative of the time because. If you were to, again, if you're making movies now, if you remake Hard Boiled, all of that shit is CG.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Like the background is green screen,
right.
Or it like there's something just off about it. Something about the graininess, the grittiness of this.
Yeah.
Like you see squibs flying, you see people getting shot in the back and like in your head, you know, okay, that's a squib, but that's like, it's fake.
Right.
But. It's something so much more realistic looking than just like a CGI bullet wound and
right.
a dude like flipping over the side mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you've got like the remnants of, you know, like the dust settling and like all this stuff coming down that you miss in a CG movie. Like the things that you don't
think
about.
That's true because it's not a practical effect
right.
anymore. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. So they're fighting his partner. He fucks up. He shoots a hostage, unfortunately. And then he dies. And then we're down to like one major bad guy, right? And Tequila jumps through or jumps onto a table and he rolls. It had flour on it. So he just winds up next to the guy on the ground looking like a straight up ghost. and then puts the gun to his forehead and just spits out his toothpick and then whabam.
How fucking gangster was that?
Dude, I was in. I was like, I'm in 100% in this movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't even teeter-totter, but I was like, I'm in 100% now.
So remember a couple weeks ago when I knew like at the exact point when you would be like tuned out of the Lost Boys?
Uh-huh.
That scene right there, like him cover, like I already knew you were on board for the action, everything that happened before that. The covered in flour, gun to head, spit out toothpick, shoot him in the face.
And the blood that comes back on his face.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, no way and fuck Leanne hates this movie.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. In fact, according to my notes, I put grade A.
Yep. Top shelf cinema.
Cinema. So we go back to the precinct and we find out that the guy that he killed, though, while he was dressed as a ghost, is a key witness, or he's a deep undercover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he killed a cop. He killed a cop. He didn't know he was killing a cop, but he did it. And the captain or super, what do they call him? Superintendent. That's the rank that he has. He's not very happy. We do a dramatic funeral sequence for the partner. We do a little moping around and we get the light. You used to be a hard cop. Now you're not. Or you know, you used to be caring and now you're a hard cop. Poor tequila. What was a name like tequila? You're going to turn hard.
You're going to have a drinking problem. You're going to play the clarinet.
You're going to sloppily drink tequila while you are playing the clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
At a jazz club that I didn't know existed in other countries.
Is Asian jazz different than American jazz?
Is it different? How did they get it over there? Because theirs came from the blues.
Do they dual wield their clarinets over there?
Do they do the fancy drumming with the hand like that? Do they do that? So then we jump to this fancy motherfucker in a nice car, meets a guy at the library, because where else you want to kill somebody than the library? He goes, he finds a book on the shelf, opens it, there's a gun in there, he shoots the guy because he betrayed Hoy?
Uncle Hoy, yeah.
Yeah, Hoy. He betrayed him. And then while they're inspecting the crime, Tequila finds the book. They had put it back. The guy had put it back all bloody like. And I'm like, this drove me nuts because what did it make me think of? The fucking bubblegum from Avengers. Hiding shit in plain sight. I can't take it. I can't. Somebody's going to want that book. And then your gun's gone. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Okay.
Drives me nuts. That's the only thing that drove me nuts in the movie. I can't take it. I mean, we don't know
when he put the gun there. It might have been just like 2 minutes beforehand. I don't think someone's going to, like, libraries maybe were more popular in 92.
That gun was there for a bit. Maybe. He walked in and it was already there.
And we don't.
So it had been there.
And we don't know how popular of a book that is. I mean, maybe.
Come on. There's something out there for everybody. Okay. Somebody's bound to grab it and then put it back all bloody. Didn't even wipe it off.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you get a book from the library and you find a gun in it, what do?
Well, you know, I'd like to think I'd tell someone, but
no,
I think I'd just put it back.
Yep.
I'd be like, you know what? This ain't my business.
Exactly. Yep, that's what happens.
This ain't my business.
Some kindly so-and-so pulled that off, opened it up, be like, oh, nope, I'm not reading any Hemingway today. Back on the shelf you go. Ooh, someone needs
looks
that.
Looks like somebody's going to die like that Hemingway motherfucker. So, I'm going to put it back.
Someone needs this for an assassination later. I'm going to go to the tea house.
They're, motherfucker, sure. I've seen Hard Boiled.
Yep, exactly.
Putting it back on the shelf.
Yep.
So, anyways, we get that. We have to address the fact that Tequila had a little thing with one of the inspectors at the precinct.
Little dibble dabble.
A little dibble dabble. They're not together anymore, and she's getting a lot of flowers, which makes Tequila jealous, but we realize that the flowers, the cards are code. Someone is undercover. And the captain tells Tequila to back off of this gun running case. Because of that, he's going to fuck shit up. Tequila doesn't take it too well. Meanwhile, Oh, this is when I started figuring out everybody's name. Alan's the guy who killed the guy at the library.
Yes.
Alan works for Hoy, while there's another younger guy trying to take over Johnny Wong. He's trying to recruit Alan, correct?
Impressive work on these names this week.
Yeah.
Like, you are knocking it out of the park.
Thank you. Well, I was interested in what was going on.
I'm invested. When I'm invested, I actually give a shit.
And then there's a raid on Hoy's warehouse that he's got. And it's kind of like a chop shop. They're like putting the guns in the cars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we have a raid. There's all these fucking motorcycles sliding around. And we're just blowing fucking shit up. And we're just shooting shit up because that's what we're doing on a raid.
So let me ask you here at this point in the movie. So you've got action movies that are very martial arts driven.
Mm-hmm.
You've got movies that are very, you know, gun driven. This is a gun driven movie.
Yeah.
Not a lot of like hand to hand, mano y mano.
Mano y mano.
If you will. Do you have a preferred style of action? Which do you like better?
I respect both, but I love to blow shit up.
Mm-hmm.
I love guns and that kind of choreography and that shit. I'll pick that any day.
Okay.
And I know that there's so much talent in both. I mean, it's so impressive to watch Donnie Yen or someone like Donnie Yen do what they do. But I this blowing shit up is my jam.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you? You're more mano y mano?
I like for the end fight, like if the end fight between the bad guy is like a big...
They throw their guns down and they run out of bullets and they're like, let's go.
Right. Like some of Donnie Yen's one-on-one fights are fucking like the thing of beauty, you know?
Right.
Like the fights in the raid
are
absolutely just mind-blowing to see what they can, you know, put together on a choreography front.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, from a technical standpoint, a movie like this, I am way more into, holy shit, how did they pull this off? Oh my God. Because like everyone's got to be in a right spot. There's shit going off. There's explosions.
There's cameras that have to be in the right spot. I mean, you're destroying things. You can't just keep doing it over and over again.
Right.
You can't just accidentally hit the wrong place and then stop and start over again. You know? So that's impressive.
So to me, I lean more towards the style of action like this. Just that hyper-violent.
Yeah. I love hyper-violent.
Yeah.
And of course, slow fucking motion. Oh, you want to know my note? Here's my direct quote.
Give me the note.
In the middle of the warehouse fight, I said, quote, if I had a wiener, I'd be erect. End quote.
There's your trailer.
There's my intro
there's your
right
intro
there.
For the trailer.
Yeah, I'll put it there. That's fine.
There was this time where that expression really got so overused. You know, like when a trailer would come out, people would just flood the comment section, like, oh my God, this gave me a hard on, or da 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 da. You know, and it got to a point where it's just like, okay, like you're overusing that too much.
Right.
But you haven't seen Hard Boiled, perhaps.
Correct.
Like that.
Correct.
This movie.
That's erection worthy.
This movie gives boners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect boners. Yep, that's what this movie does. And so we have this big fight, right? And then and Wong is the one who infiltrated, right, with Alan in tow, okay? The betrayal has been made. So they start to load all this shit up, and then here comes motherfucking tequila just dropping through.
Ziplining down.
Ziplining down. Then Hoy's people show up, and they are surrounded, right? So Hoy tells Alan to shoot him. You shoot me. I don't want to be shot by this motherfucker Wong over here, right? That was sad. And Alan did it, and he had tears. He didn't want to do it.
No.
Hey, but he's undercover. What's he going to do? He has to do what he has to do. This is where I went. Alan's a cop, isn't he? He's the undercover. I guess it took me a minute. I guess I should have known it earlier.
Okay. I was wondering.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now here comes, this happens first, then tequila comes in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because we
see him earlier that he's there, but that's when it must have been when my note meant.
Yeah, because Alan shoots Hoy, and then he wastes all of his other dudes.
Yeah, he shoots them all.
Yep.
He shoots them all, and then through the roof, just wrecking shit, as I wrote here, double gun jump slow-mo action between Tequila and Alan. It's going on in the warehouse. And then eventually they end up guns to each other. What is that? Mexican standoff? No, that's when you have a hostage, right?
No, Mexican standoff. Technically, that is a Mexican standoff.
Okay, but it's Chinese.
It's a Chinese standoff. Mm-hmm. It's a Mexican standoff in China. More often than not, when you have three people or more and everyone's got guns.
There it is.
But two can still be a Mexican standoff.
Either way, they got their guns against each other, right? And Tequila shoots, but it doesn't fire. He pulls the trigger.
And the little smirk that Alan gets on his face
is so good.
Mwah.
And so Alan just lets it go. He undoes his gun. He fucking skedats. Mm-hmm. And he lets Tequila live. And he returns to his boat to sail and yell. Because he is upset. And we find out that he's a triad, which is just deep undercover, I guess.
No, so triads are like Asian mafia, like similar to Yakuza, and that's what a triad is.
Oh, so wait a minute. Say that again.
So
he's a part of the mafia.
That's what he's undercover in.
Yeah, that's what he's undercover as.
Yeah, he's undercover in the triad.
Okay, got it. So we find out that he's deep undercover, and Alan tells the superintendent, right? That was his rank, to make Tequila back off because he's going to ruin everything. We need to calm him down. But Tequila doesn't want to do that because that's not, he's a hard cop now.
He's fucking hard boiled, son.
He's fucking hard. I was wondering where hard boiled was going to come in. We finally get there later. And so he shows up at Alan's boat, and he wants to partner up so that they can take down Wong. But then as that conversation happens, men come up from Hoi, some of Hoi's men who didn't die, right? And they start blasting.
We got ourselves another shootout.
We're shooting at a boat. We're shooting through the hole on the deck of the boat.
God damn.
Damn it. Alan gets hit, but he's okay. He's taken to the hospital by Wong because Wong has accepted him as his guy, right? Wong doesn't know what's going on, obviously. And so takes him to the hospital. They end up, I don't remember how they got this information, but they figured out that this other guy, Foxy, was an informant.
Right.
Right? So they figure out he's an informant. They beat the fucking shit out of him. That was a brutal beatdown.
That was a beatdown.
What was that dude's name? Mad Dog?
Mad Dog, yeah.
Mad Dog's a good look.
Every action movie needs a Mad Dog.
They need a Mad Dog.
And a lot of them have them. Just that next level psycho.
Preferably with an eye patch.
Yep.
That has blood on it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Just the kind of dude that's going to, he's going to rough you up a little extra harder.
100%.
He's going to shoot anyone.
Oh, just,
you know,
bouncing his head off the fucking railing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So they track him down. Mad Dog beats the shit out of him, and Alan goes in. He's ordered to kill this guy. So he kind of grabs him in the fight, you know, and he puts a cigarette lighter in his pocket.
Very sneaky.
Very sneakily. Nobody sees that. So when Alan shoots him, he shoots the cigarette lighter so that doesn't kill Foxy. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Muy buena. So Alan gets to Tequila and tells him that Wong's arsenal is at the hospital. Or somebody gets to Tequila and tells him, maybe it's Foxy, tells him that Wong's arsenal is at the hospital. He's hiding guns at the fucking hospital.
What a fucking plot twist.
He's taking over the damn hospital.
How fucking awesome is that? Like, what was your reaction to
that? I was like, oh shit, a hospital? Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Where at?
Don't see that a lot.
No, you don't. You don't see that being the place. So
Also, real quick, when Foxy gets away and he goes back to the tea house and he runs into the bartender and Tequila. That's John Woo.
I know it is.
Okay, did you look
it
up?
I saw that. I looked it up.
Nice.
Yes, he's the bartender there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at him pulling an Alfred Hitchcock in his own movie.
So it was actually Chow Yun-Fat that wanted him in there because he's like, dude, you're like one of my best friends. I want you in this movie.
I know you wrote. I know you're directing the movie and you wrote it, but you know,
put yourself in it.
Yeah.
If you ever happen to look up like any, you know, like behind the scenes stuff or anything like that, when John Woo is directing, it's a fucking great image because I mean, like imagine someone trying to control and direct all of this chaos. Like, okay, this is going to happen here. This is doing this thing. But he's just like always has a cigarette in his hand.
That's horrible.
Always just like, okay, over here. All right. Yep. The thing. Yep. Jump it. You, sir, up there. Yep. Okay. Puff, puff, drag. Yes, sir. It's just like,
that's amazing.
It's awesome just to watch the behind the scenes. Like that's as fun as watching the shit blow up.
Interesting. That would be fun to watch. Just them direct. Yeah. Turn the camera around. I want to see that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alan goes into the hospital. It looks like he's going in there to kill Fox. He has the box of flowers with the gun inside the box of flowers. Nice, nice touch. But he sends a crane first because he told Tequila he would send a crane. By the way, he makes cranes for every person he kills. Little origami cranes.
Yeah.
Little origami cranes. So he sent a crane first.
You ever fucked with origami?
No.
No?
I couldn't even do one of those little fortune things, you know? Right. Pick a color, pick a number, all that bullshit, you know?
Right.
Am I going to be rich? No.
I one time, because it was like in the clearance section at Barnes & Noble, bought a, here, how to make all these origami things, and I flipped through it a couple times.
Right.
Never even once attempted to make an origami anything.
I mean, it'd be cheaper than Legos.
Well, yes.
You know, it might be a hobby I need to start. Yeah. So that warns Tequila that shit's going down. So he takes Foxy into a different room. And then he and Alan work together to kill some of Wong's guys. But Wong's got Mad Dog, of course, with his little fucking eye patch. And that dude finds Foxy and slits his damn throat in the hallway. That damn, I love the blood spatter on the window there. That was so good. I love that touch.
And like, and he like gashes his throat with a scalpel. So you got to imagine that. Like, I mean, it's surgical. It's got a, you know, fucking a nice spurt to it.
It did.
Good.
It did.
Good shit.
And then there's just blood everywhere that nobody seems to see. There's like bloody footprints nobody seems to be paying attention to. Or they're just like, it's a hospital. It comes with the territory, I guess. I don't know. So chasing Mad Dog, we find out that the secret arsenal is in the basement through the morgue, correct? So it looks like they're wheeling dead bodies on gurneys, but it's actually guns on gurneys.
They rattle.
You see them rattle finally under the sheet. So I love this. When Tequila poses as like a doctor who's wheeling down a dead patient who's Alan on the gurney, and then he just slides out of it. He kicks the gurney, right? And it hits the desk where a guy's sitting, and then he just slides out of it and just starts shooting. It's fantastic,
isn't it though?
Oh, it's so God, it just damn. Looks so good. So they find a secret door to a tunnel, and they get down in there, but there's a door that they can't get through. And then we have this very long sequence. This was a long sequence with the gunpowder and trying to blow it up. That didn't work. So Alan finds these two things of wire, and he's like, "Ah, fuck it." And he just fuck it. And he puts them together, which somehow miraculously opens this big steel door, right? And we think Alan died. Oh, no. Oh, no, we've lost him, because we get flashbacks to the partner that Tequila lost at the beginning of the movie. So we start to try to bring him back to life. Luckily, he's alive. We get him back to life after we beat the shit out of his chest.
That's how you do it.
Right? So we fight Mad Dog in the arsenal filled with weapons, which looked super freaking cool. Like, you know, shit on the walls and in the crates that you see, right? So they're fighting in the warehouse while the girlfriend or the ex-girlfriend and Pang, he's the superintendent, they start to evacuate the hospital as Wong shows up to the hospital. Chaos ensues, to say the least. Now, Wong locks the doors, but here's what I didn't understand, unless it's just to make him a terrible bad guy. why did he need to shoot everybody? It was Mad Dog's argument later on. It's like, why do you need to shoot these people? Because they're trying to get out of the hospital.
You, but he's like, you nailed it.
He's just trying to make him a sinister bad guy.
Yep.
He's just like, even the innocent got to die. And he's making his people just shoot everybody who's trying to leave the hospital.
And holy fuck, do they.
They do. They shoot every, because he's got everybody. He's got, you know, people on the payroll at the hospital, too.
Can you think of another movie where, like, they just gun down innocents this willy-nilly? Like, sometimes you get, like, yeah, a couple occasionals caught in the crossfire, but they are mowing fuckers
down.
No,
they just want, no, I've never, that's why I was confused, because I was like, so they're just intentionally killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not just the people who pertain to the issue.
No.
Just everybody.
Fuck them.
All the patients, because everybody's run, and also, fuck, we have no hope as a society, okay? Because the way people are trying to get out of this hospital, like, they're a mess before the shooting starts, I feel like.
Right.
You know? Jesus, we'll never make it. We'll never make it.
And we should also point out, like, this isn't, like, you know, like an abandoned hospital, mob-fronted hospital, or whatever. This is an actual working...
It's an actual hospital.
Like, a hospital in any town, USA. It just so happens that somehow the fucking triads have swooped in, fucking taken over the basement.
Correct.
This is where they're hiding shit.
That's true. They took over the hospital, but I didn't technically, not in the sense that they run it. It's just they've snuck in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
They know that their weapons cache is compromised, and they're like, all right, everyone got to go.
Everyone's got to die.
If for no other reason, then goddamn it, we need some fucking action.
Mm-hmm. So at this time, the cops have surrounded the outside. So then there's a huge gunfight. They're shooting people in the hospital and they're shooting at the cops outside, right? Our boys are, they've got to escape out of the tunnel through the more, oh, let's see, hold on. They fight Mad Dog. He doesn't die here. He gets out. He gets away. So they have to go. They finally get back out. They had to figure out how to get back out of the tunnel. They get stuck in this tunnel a lot. And they had to get, so they got through the morgue slots using C4. That's what they did. Yeah. So they use C4 and then they go through, you know, like at the morgue where you open the door and the body slides out.
Mm-hmm.
So they get on the thing and then they slide through the door and then they slide onto gurneys and they're like, pow, 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 pow. It's amazing.
So literally every time I've ever been in a hospital after this movie, I look at a gurney and I'm like, if I need to, I know it's there.
You know you can jump on it and go.
Yeah. I check to make sure, like, the brakes aren't on it, because I'd hate to jump on it and have it not go just anywhere bounce. And look like a dumbass. Yeah.
Just fucking bounce and roll off of it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, I can't. So, anyways, they do that, and it's fucking amazing. And... here's my note. We're killing everybody.
Yep.
Then I put raid boys, but it's SWAT who comes to fuck shit up. But yeah. I was like, raid boys, raid's here.
This is probably the movie that made the raid boys want to become the raid boys.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Here was the thing that aggravated me about the movie. Maybe not aggravated me. But we spent so much time on those fucking babies in the maternity ward.
You know what,
though?
Did
we not?
I will say this might be a hot take. I realize what country we're in.
Uh-huh.
This scene did more to protect children from gun violence than anything this country has done.
Jack, it's a mental health issue.
Oh, is that right? It's a mental health issue. Okay. Well, this scene did more for the mental health of those babies than this country is doing for mental health.
I put these babies, they must mean mourn in Chinese culture or something. But I thought they killed them.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought they killed, like, so many after you had so many. Wasn't that China?
I think you can only have, like, a government allotted amount of
kids.
Right,
exactly. So I didn't think they really cared about kids, but in this movie, they cared about babies.
Well, I mean, this was the 90s.
These were the allotted amounts.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
These were the chosen ones.
There was a couple billion less of us in the 90s.
I don't think that's right, but okay.
I mean,
have we gone up by billions? We haven't gone up by billions.
We're at like 8 billion.
Yeah, but what were we in the 90s?
Probably less than that.
Okay.
Hang on.
I don't think we went up by billions.
I'm going to Google world population in the 90s. Let me see.
Find out. I don't think we went up by billions because people die too.
1992, global population 5.4 billion.
Oh, what are we today?
7.7 billion.
I stand corrected. My bad.
It's all good. One of the few times we actually debated fact and logic on this podcast.
And found an answer.
So you had your takeaway during this scene. My takeaway was like, man, these cops are way more butch than these queers in Uvalde. Bunch of pussies. Wait. Let's wait to see if anything happens before we go in. I know we're strapped. I know there's like 50 of us, but hey, has anyone seen Hard Boiled? No, Chief, what's that? Yeah, we haven't watched Hard Boiled here in this precinct. We're a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
Fucking bitch.
America.
Fuck yeah. Also, at many points
Correct.
Also, at many points in this movie, I couldn't help it, but like just during certain shootouts, during like when all the innocents are getting gunned down, when you know, like we're like we getting some of that hyper violence, I kept running Childish Gambino's "This Is America." This is America.
Don't get you slipping up.
Yep. I was like, man, now I need to make a mashup with Hard Boiled. And Childish Gambino, because I mean, it's not wrong.
This is some hard boiled.
Yep.
Get in the hospital.
Look at him. Woo it up.
He got an arsenal.
Yeah. Bars.
That was the whitest shit ever.
Yes.
That song means a lot, and we just took it and made it our own.
Kind of, yeah, but also, we're not no wrong.
Better. We're no better than Columbus.
We're really not. Nope.
Anyway.
Hard boiled. Look at all these cops saving kids like they swore an oath to do.
Yeah. So they're saving all these kids, right? We spend a lot of time with those crying ass motherfuckers in this movie. So our boys, Alan and Tequila, they work through the hospital to find Wong. And while they're going through and shooting shit up, double gunning it, Alan accidentally shoots a cop coming off of the elevator.
So now here, I don't know if you caught this or not, but we get one of my favorite things in cinema. We got a long ass, like, no breaks in the action shot. So let me tell you something amazing about this scene. And I think I've told you this before, but now you've seen it, right?
Okay.
So as they're working their way through the hospital,
mm-hmm.
they get, you know, the cop comes off the elevator, Alan accidentally, you know, shoots him, whatever. They get in the helicopter, or they get in the elevator, the helicopter, get through the chopper. They get in the elevator, the doors close. When the doors open up, that's the same fucking floor. As that door closed, the art department scrambled to reset the scene.
You told me about this.
When the door opens, they continue the action.
That is amazing.
How fucking rad is that?
Dude.
Not only is the shot itself, like the tracking through the hospital with all that intricate action going off.
Yeah.
Then to find out, and I didn't find this fact out till years later, like the door closes. And it closes on absolute destruction.
Yeah.
And then it opens up and you would have no idea that it's the same floor.
No.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's talent.
And then right back off the elevator, down the hallway, just blasting motherfuckers through windows. One of my favorite shots in this one is where the dude, like, one of the guys jumps up on a table to try to get some shots up, but just gets shotgunned through a fucking window.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that's what you get. only the good guys can get flashy in this one.
Right, that's right. You can't be flamboyant in this. You're a bad guy. Mm-mm. You're going to die. So they're going through, and Mad Dog eventually finds Alan and Tequila, right? Then we got to battle him, and we shoot around with him for a lot. He's quite the villain.
He's the dude you fight before you get to the main dude.
100%.
And that guy always needs to be more of a badass than the dude.
Now, they're not doing well against him, you know. So what do? They split up.
Yep.
Tequila goes to help with these goddamn babies. But I'm glad he did, because there's one baby left. Everybody gets out, but there's one baby that got left because the stupid girlfriend moved the baby where the baby shouldn't have been and covered him up, and we missed him. Mm-hmm. So he grabs this baby and he puts cotton in its ears, and it is kind of adorable. It is a kind of an adorable baby. And then he starts spitting nursery rhymes to this little son of a bitch.
I was wondering how you were going to react to this scene.
It was adorable, not to lie. It was adorable. And then what does he do? Oh, here comes a bad guy. Pachow! Pop, pop! He is spitting nursery rhymes while he is killing motherfuckers.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing.
Holding a baby in one hand.
Holding a baby!
Gun in the other.
Yeah.
Like you said.
That's what every woman wants.
Right?
We're not complicated. That's what every woman wants. We want men to hold babies and protect them with guns. That's what we want.
Yep. This is America.
He does get shot in the chest.
You do.
He do take a bullet, but it doesn't bother him. No. He's got this. Meanwhile, Wong's people gonna blow up the hospital, right? Cut their losses, let everything go. So C4 is being placed everywhere. Alan and Mad Dog, they're fighting, but they end up in a room that's got hostages in it. And they go to shoot. They're on opposite ends of the hostages. The hostages are in the middle of them. And they go to shoot, but they're not. Even Mad Dog doesn't like this killing of innocent people. He mentions that to Wong at some point earlier in the movie. So they put their guns down, and they're going to let the people get out of the room first. So as they're leaving, here comes Wong. And he just kills everybody.
Just
murders all of the hostages for no reason.
And we're not talking like three or four.
No,
there's we're like 30.
A group. Yeah.
Yeah.
A huge group in this room that have huddled together. And he mows them all down. And Mad Dog doesn't like it. And he has, he shoots Wong. Or he shoots at, does he shoot him or does he shoot at him? Does he get him?
I can't remember if he tags him. He shoots at him. He doesn't
kill him or drop him down. So either he grazed him or he just missed him, just totally missed him. And then Wong kills his own henchman, Mad Dog. Damn. I hated that for Mad Dog.
Right?
Because at least he had some moral compass.
Yeah.
You know?
Like let the fight stay between the cops and the robbers.
Yeah.
Like leave the innocents out of it, you know? Like
leave the nurses. These were nurses
right. And
patients and doctors.
I mean, Mad Dog is a bad motherfucker, but he's got a code.
I love a bad guy with a moral code.
Right?
They're the best. So let's see. Where are we at? I lost it. Hold on. Alan and Mad Dog. Nope, we've already done that. He died. So then after that happens, Wong starts to blow the hospital, right?
Yes.
Okay. He's got a little detonator. He starts to hit the buttons. And then he kind of takes off.
Yeah, and then Tequila's trying to run out with the last
with the baby.
Explosions going off behind him.
Alan, meanwhile, runs after Wong and says, I need this. Because he's been undercover. He's killed a lot of people. Like, if he dies, he dies. He's like, it's fine if I die.
Yep.
I'm done with this shit,
He's
right?
done some bad shit.
He's done some bad shit, right? So Alan runs after Wong while Tequila runs out with the baby. And let's talk about how he gets out of this hospital, shall we?
Let's do it.
He's trying to get out. They've locked all the doors and things. So and there are explosions everywhere, so he's going to have to jump. So what does he do? He grabs a bundle of cables from the corner of the... the ceiling there, and he just yanks him out, and he's running with him, and he gets on fire. He has to put himself out. He's carrying a baby. He's got one hand on the baby, one hand on the cables, and then what does he do? He jumps out of the window. holding the cables.
God damn right.
But also, did you notice that the cable is too long and he just lands? He could have just jumped without the cable because he landed.
Yeah.
Also, he would have had damage from that landing, but he did not have it in this movie.
No.
Beginning to think it's a little unbelievable.
John Woo even says in he's very open to me. He's like, logic? Fuck.
Right. It's fine.
Yeah. Do you ever notice you never see anyone reloading in these movies? Like, John Woo is very cognizant of that. He's just like, it takes away from the action.
Correct.
Like, fuck
it's
you.
Fine. It's
fine. Yeah. And two things about this. So number one, Hard-Boiled was kind of made as John Woo's love letter to Die Hard. So he really loves Die Hard.
Okay.
And number two, during this scene in particular, they do the first take or whatever, explosions going off. John Woo not happy with it. He's like, Chow-Yun Fat, doesn't look like you're running for your life. Give me this fucking box. And he took control of the detonators.
Oh my God, they went
off a lot closer than Chow-Yun Fat was expecting.
Oh.
So some of those reactions are quite legit.
He looks like he's about to die.
And there's a reason for that.
And there's a reason why.
John Woo will get the performance out of his actors that he wants.
That's too funny. So he gets out of the building with that damn baby. And when he gets out into the parking lot where all the cops have the hospital surrounded, who comes out of the hospital? I'll tell you who, because that's the reason why we're here. Alan. Oh, excuse me. My phone went off like an unprofessional piece of shit. Alan comes out with Wong. Wong's got him as a hostage. Oh, terrible. With a gun to his head. And Wong calls Tequila the hard-boiled cop.
He said it.
Because this whole time I was like, okay, but why is it hard-boiled? Then we got there.
Is this about eggs? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Do they have an illegal egg operation going on? Are they going to be dual-wielding eggs?
Dual-wielding eggs? And then Wong is like, he's like, you got to do, basically, he makes him out to be a bitch, right? He makes him slap himself because he's got a gun next to Alan's head and Tequila can't do anything, right?
Yeah, he just makes him like, he's like telling him to slap himself.
Yeah.
You know, get down on his knees, tell him he's incompetent, impotent.
Impotent is what he told him to say. And I love all of the frowny faces on the rest of the cops like, oh, this is terrible.
Right.
Oh, he's making him out to be a bitch. I did also love at the precinct whenever Pang would get onto Tequila or if they were having a discussion, all of the rest of the cops would stand at the windows at the glass window because everything, all the rooms are glass. And so they would just stand and watch every argument and every fight and listen. I really enjoyed that. Anyways, so makes him his bitch for a minute and then Alan moves the gun so that Tequila can shoot Wong. But he ends up shooting himself, right?
In the gut. Yep.
He moves the gun. He gets shot in the gut. But then that allows Tequila to put his gun up and fucking shoot Wong right through the eye.
Hell yeah.
And even though you can tell it was a dummy head, it still looked pretty cool.
I'm still a big fan of that shot, though. Like,
I don't hate it.
Like, and that, I mean, shots like that where you very clearly tell it there's a split second cut, it's a prosthetic, whatever. Like, I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm here for it. I dig it.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. And so that happens. We think that Alan's dead. He is not. He's on his boat. He's finally done. They burn his file, so he's done with the undercover work. He's gone. Maybe he's going to sail to Antarctica because he would like the cold.
Man,
he would like the bright after living in dark for so long. That's what he tells earlier. And then that, my friends, is the end of Hard Boiled.
That is fucking Hard Boiled.
That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking John Woo. You know what? Round of applause for John Woo.
Give it up, John Woo.
John Woo.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Aren't you so glad I loved this movie?
I sure am.
Dude, it was a jam.
Because Jesus Christ, that would have been.
I don't think we'd have made it.
No.
No, we, well. Mm.
I mean, we've made it through worse.
We have made it through worse.
We have. But no, like, I mean, when it comes to action movies, like if I were to have a favorite genre, I think it would probably be action movies. And there are so many, like, I mean, in the glory days of the 80s, you know, your Schwarzeneggers, your Stallones, mm-hmm. your Chuck Norrises, even like your direct-to-video guys. Like, there was just a lot of good, dumb action movies. But then when you start throwing shit like this in the mix, like, holy fuck, does that elevate the game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when people like John Woo come over to America and that kind of set the tone for all these other directors to come over. You know, that's why we ended up getting, you know, the eventual movies like the John Wicks of the world, all mm-hmm. these big extravagant action pieces, you know, it's like people like John Woo.
So was there anybody that really inspired John Woo, or did John Woo really create a lot of what we watched in this movie? Like, I know you said he made it as an homage to Die Hard.
It was a lot of the American style movies that he was into. Like Tequila was kind of modeled after Dirty Harry a little bit, you know, like there's a Steve McQueen movie called Bullet. You ever seen Bullet?
I've not seen Bullet.
Great movie. Some people say that it has one of the greatest car chases in all of cinema.
Oh, have they seen Smokey and the Bandit? I watched that over the weekend. Eastbound and Down is in my head.
The people have seen that made Eastbound and Down, or Smokey and the Bandit, they definitely have seen Bullet. Put it that way. But no, so he was
more inspired by American movies.
Yeah, like a lot of our influence came out through here, and he just wanted to put like that Asian style on it.
Yeah,
that
freaking looks amazing.
Right?
Again, I can't believe it was 92. It just, you could play that. It still looks so good today.
Yeah.
You know, of course, because it's real.
Right. Because
it's real and choreographed.
Well, and even, you know, like if you look at some of the, like the lesser action movies, kind of like some of your just like generic action flicks, you know, mm-hmm. like not the John Wicks, not the, you know, the first Matrix, not the stuff like that, the revolutionary stuff,
right.
but just like the ho-hum, you know, whatever. It all, to me, lands so flat. It lands vanilla. It might be a good, you know, couple sequences here and there, but there are multiple fucking sequences in this movie
mm-hmm.
that trump the one before it.
Yeah.
You know, like you're thinking, oh, that opening shot in the tea house, that's as good as it's going to get.
No.
Like 10 minutes later, when we're in this factory, that was better than the tea house. Okay, cool. Well, we spent our load, gentlemen.
Well,
we're not gonna top this.
Wait a minute. We're gonna go to a hospital.
Right? even when they do a smaller, more intimate shootout on a boat, that's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But like I said, the last 30 minutes of this movie, fuck you.
I kept looking at the display on the TV because it'll tell you like what you're at, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to like an hour and a half, and I went, "Okay, here we go."
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
I bet. Yep.
Jack said to buckle up. I'm a buckle up.
You strapped in. Did I overhype this one? Because I know I have the tendency to do that.
I kept worrying that you were going to, but no.
Yeah.
When we just started killing people. Just to kill people. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, and fucking Mad Dog. I was like, no, we're in.
Yeah.
And it's a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, to me, like, I remember the first time I saw this and that revelation came up about, oh, fuck, the guns are in the hospital. I thought that was the coolest fucking shit.
And you got to go through the morgue and they're on the gurneys. They look like dead people. They're wrapped up to look like they're dead people mm-hmm. on a gurney. And then there's a secret door in the morgue. You know, whatever those are.
And now I just want like a whole backstory of like how this crime syndicate got into the hospital. And
right.
Like
how did they build
shit,
that?
You know?
Or like, was that supposed to be something else through the morgue? And then they refurbished it. Also, they were able to pump cool. What did they put? Didn't they pump like cold air in there or whatever? So I'm like, is it a refrigerator that was made for bodies? But now it's got guns in there. What the fuck does it mean? Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now there is a video game sequel to this movie.
Get Out.
2007, a game came out called Stranglehold.
Okay.
Chow Yun-Fat actually voiced Inspector Tequila.
Get Out.
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
You could dual wield. You could go into slow-mo.
What could you play it on?
It was on Xbox 360.
Nice.
And one of the levels was the tea house.
And you liked it? It was a good game?
It was an okay game.
Okay.
Like the mechanics were a bit clunky. They were trying to, you know, do things that were very ambitious that they couldn't quite pull off. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically wanted you to like be able to do everything Inspector Tequila did in this movie. So you would play online and you could have multiple people running around the tea house, like shooting at each other with like, you know, dual wielding shotguns,
right,
or Desert Eagles or whatever. And you'd collect power ups as you went on so that you could jump in slow-mo and really start like taking them out.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I played it a lot. And ultimately, every time went back just to watch Hard Boiled. Even if I didn't have 2 hours, I would watch the last 30 minutes of Hard Boiled.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good 30 minutes to watch.
So two questions. What is the likelihood that you will ever watch this again? And B, would you now be more interested to see either his Chinese stuff or his American stuff? Would you go back and watch some more John Woo?
Okay, well, I would definitely watch this movie again. If it's ever streaming somewhere or if it's ever playing somewhere, that's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
But I would totally watch this movie if it was on.
Which?
100%.
And before I get the second part, answer your second part of the question, how the fuck is this not streaming anywhere?
I don't know.
This movie's a goddamn classic. Literally no streaming service in America has it. You can't even rent it on like iTunes or Amazon.
You can't rent it. You can't watch it. And it's so highly rated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's A, we think it's good, but B, it has a great rating.
100%.
It's a 94% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. And if you, and I mean, even if you, you know, go to like Rotten Tomatoes or Entertainment Weekly or, you know, all these sites that talk about movies, when it comes to action, like if they do a top 50 list, Hard Boiled is always on that fucking list.
As it should be.
Yeah.
So why it's not anywhere, I have no idea. Would I watch any more of his movies? Absolutely. Since you said that his American ones were not as good as his foreign ones, I think I would watch his foreign films.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I can keep up.
Okay.
I kept up with this one. I got everybody's name.
Well, and the thing is, you know, it's not like... I mean, it is a good story, but it's not so bogged down that you lose it in the translation.
No, you don't. But you get enough to where you can really like the characters and you can see their development, mm-hmm, and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they do a good job.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd watch more. What was it? The Killer? I need to watch The Killer?
The Killer, Bullet in the Head, and A Better Tomorrow.
Okay.
I would.
If you got them, let me borrow them.
All right. I got you, fam.
Bring them over.
I will say this. So A Better Tomorrow was kind of the one that like catapulted John Woo over there.
Okay. Was this before or after?
This A Better Tomorrow
is before?
Was first. Was before,
okay.
Hard Boiled, was before The Killer.
Okay.
Chow Yun-Fat was in it and super good.
Is he in pretty much all of John Woo's movies?
A lot of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But when A Better Tomorrow hit, when it became a hit, they wanted to make sequels to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. not super good. They did one of the things in movies that I hate the most. Like, I'm not a fan of this plot device. Like, a character in A Better Tomorrow dies, but then that actor comes back in A Better Tomorrow 2 as his twin brother.
Oh, fuck that.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Don't need it.
I don't need it. I don't like it.
No.
Nope.
And you like A Better Tomorrow followed by The Killer. I would go A Better Tomorrow, The Killer, and then Bullet in the Head. Bullet in the Head is it's a great movie.
It's a great title.
Right. But also like one of his more political movies.
Okay.
And like, I don't really understand the politics over there. Like,
right.
It revolves a lot around like Tiananmen Square.
Okay.
And everything that happened there, and I'm not like super well versed on that.
Well, I don't read, so
well,
I think somebody stood in front of a tank. I don't know.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You something know, about that. I don't know why.
You don't read. America doesn't teach proper history. wait, did I say that? No, I didn't. I didn't mean to say that. Everything was peachy keen.
America. Fuck yeah.
As soon as the pilgrims touched foot on this soil, everything was great.
Everything was white.
Yep. It's all right.
Everything.
It's all white. So anyway. Well, that was that was your further education into the world of John Woo.
I like John Woo.
I give you an A+.
Oh, thank you. Yay. I get an A+. I give you an A+ for picking a fantastic film.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you also notice a couple of the, I mean, like John Woo definitely has his John Woo-isms.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice like a couple of them that were like straight it put into Face Off?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like the guns and the slow-mo and all that?
Like the guns, the slow-mo, even like the, you know, the parts where like Tequila and Wong pull guns on each other and they got their...
I did notice that. Mm-hmm. I did notice that because I don't think I wrote it down, but I went, oh, I think that's in Face Off.
Yep.
I think that was in Face Off.
Well, and even the way he frames it, you know, like when they come into frame, pull guns, and then the camera just kind of like turns a little.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's that good Woo shit right there.
That's that good Woo. There were a couple of times where I'm like, I know that's familiar, but again, I've only seen Face Off twice.
Okay.
Twice, and it's been a little bit. So, you know, I feel like if I had seen it more, I would be able to go, oh, that. But there were parts where I was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I know I've seen that before.
All right.
Yeah. I caught some. I did okay.
So how many hard-boiled eggs would you give?
Dude.
Hard-boiled.
This movie is excellent. It's fantastic action. Kick-ass action. Awesome story. I love the characters. So it was fun to watch. So I'm going to give it 5 hard-boiled eggs out of 5.
Mm-hmm. That's a five banger.
It's a 5 banger, babe.
That's
not a 1, not a 2, not a 3, not a 4.
Mm-mm.
A 5 banger.
That's 2 fistful of 5 stars coming at this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which would technically be 10, but we're not going to split hairs here.
Right. It's a 10-star movie.
It's a 10-star movie.
It is a 10-star movie.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 5 hard-boiled out of 5 hard-boiled. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you give it?
It's 5 tequila sodas out of 5. 5 dual-wielding pistolas out of 5.
Yeah, son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably watch this movie at least once or twice a year.
Okay, understandable.
And in the last week, I've watched it 4 times.
No shit!
Yeah. Like, I watched it last week. When I thought about bringing it up for the podcast, I watched it that week.
Okay.
And then I'm like, hey, let's watch this next week, and I watched it again.
Sure.
I had a slow day at my day job, so like the movie's actually on YouTube. So you can pull it up on YouTube. So I just set my phone at my desk and I'm like, I'll fucking watch Hard Boil, get into this. Then today I got to the station super early. We didn't record till later in the day. And so I was like, just fired it up.
No shit.
Yeah, fired it up again on YouTube. I fucking love this movie.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
Yep.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yep. And I'll probably watch it a couple more times before the year is out.
That's okay.
So, yep.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
If I had it, I'd watch it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to next week, my friend, we got a milestone.
Mm-hmm.
We got episode 150.
What?
150.
It cracks me up when anybody says 50.
50.
It murders me every time. 50.
150.
150.
I'm going to need about 350.
I'm going to need about 350. And I want a Loch Ness Monster.
We like our milestones around here. So I think we should do something special with it. I'm going to tell you what we're going to watch off these microphones.
Okay.
We're going to keep it a surprise.
Oh.
For episode 150.
Look at you, you fucking little tease.
That's right.
You teasing ass bitch.
Realize the last time we did that, it ended horribly. Check out our non-existent, our missing episode that aired during Halloween over at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding.
Somebody recorded the radio station and not the phone call.
It was me. maybe next week, Marlon from America's Barley Basket joins us. Maybe we have our first celebrity guest. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Gavin Rossdale of Bush is going to show up. How random is that?
He might possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, what if...
You got the hookup.
What if Marlon's listening as he's like, oh, shit, am I going to be on next week? And then immediately went to, wait, did I just get bumped for Gavin Rossdale? And the answer is maybe.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You can stand down for Gavin Rossdale.
It might be like a new episode. It might be static for an hour and a half, depending on if I can actually fucking... do shit accordingly.
It's okay. I'm at a position where I can watch you now and everything looks correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. You don't go unsupervised anymore.
No, not after that faux pas.
That was a phone call that I hated to make. I had to call you to tell you what the problem was because I went to upload it and I went, oh no, I pulled it up and I saw the audio and I went,
oh no,
that doesn't look right at all. Oh, man, I did not want to make that phone call.
And it's been a long time since October, in case you forgot. We were balls deep in our Halloween love.
Yeah.
And the year before, we did 31 episodes in 31 days with our buddy Marlon from America's Barley Basket.
Jesus.
We decided we are not going to do that.
I decided we were not going to do that.
Correct.
Those goons wanted to do it.
But we did four Halloween movies in October. The fourth one, we were going to bring in Marlon, kind of like keep with the theme.
Well, we did.
We actually did, yes. He wasn't here physically. He was, at his home base in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So we phoned him in. Mm-hmm. He was recording audio on his end. We were recording audio on our end. We were going to mash him up at the end.
Easy peasy. We did it 31 times before.
Literally 31 times before. When Leanne was in charge of the audio. Mm-hmm. You put my chuckle-headed ass in charge of things one time.
You started to hit record. You know, because of where we sit and all shit went all yep. It all went to shit.
Yeah, we had to record in a different studio that day. It wasn't set up right.
Yeah, that's right. We were out of our element.
It was all me.
And I couldn't watch.
No, that's
and
right.
Make sure it was right.
You could checks and balances. It's all about checks and balances.
It's true.
I cannot be left to anything except waving copies of Hard Boiled over my head saying, this is art.
There it is. You didn't do it during the whole talk.
Well, I didn't have to because you agreed that this was art.
It was art.
I mean, the motherfucker's right. It is art.
It is art.
But yes, next week, episode 150, we got surprises in store for you. So make sure you fire us up on a Monday or Tuesday or like fucking whenever.
We won't put a time constraint on you.
We won't put two guns to your head.
No.
The rest of America might, statistically speaking.
Yeah, possibly.
But it's not a gun problem.
It's a mental health issue.
I mean, it really is. Also, give us a follow. Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Follow us on all those social medias.
Do we still have a TikTok?
Oh, you got
to. Are we still not banned?
Oh, no. No.
It's all at HSV Home Video.
I put some shit up this morning that's blowing up. We got like 150 fucking likes on it right now.
150?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Real.
Shut
looks
up.
It's like real C4 in a hospital, my man. Blowing.
Don't.
It's blowing up.
Don't belittle my love of TikTok. One day it's all I'm going to have left. Oh, God. Also give a shout out to our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography. Man, Michael just continues to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he does.
Yeah.
Homie just gets better and better.
He's still setting shit on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Came by the studio again this week. We took some more literal fire pics.
I don't think I saw him when he came by this last time.
No?
Nope.
Where were you at?
Nobody ventured to come say hi.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, you could have come out of your office, you know?
Well, I didn't know he was here.
Oh.
And then I found out he was here.
Oh.
And you and your little boy toy didn't come make a stroll down to my office.
By the way,
you should see them. They skip.
It is our favorite thing when you just get all up in your feelings. You're like, you're going to go have another photo shoot with your boyfriend?
I do love calling him your boyfriend. It's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing that I do.
That's very mature. Good times.
Y'all are cute going up and down the hallway together.
I mean,
it's adorable.
Well, yeah, we have the same head, so why wouldn't we be? And really, I was a gay dude, I'd probably go for someone that looked just like me. Because I love myself that much.
You vain motherfucker.
Yeah. Which for an ugly fucker is, it doesn't make sense.
You're not an ugly fucker. No, Jack, no.
To be determined.
Whenever I can't win that one.
_Underboss_photography. Give Michael a follow. Check out all his stuff. And until next week, my friends, be kind and rewind.
We're in the end game now.